Welcome to the Bethel Mennonite Church Sunday Worship Podcast, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Pastor Jordan Farrell. There are two particularly special parts to the podcast this week. The first is that our message today will come from the Bethel diaspora. Diaspora is a funny-sounding word that has an interesting connection with the biblical story. It refers to the time when the children of Abraham and Sarah were scattered, or dispersed, from Palestine by the Assyrian and then later the Babylonian armies. While it's true that right now we're in a season of diaspora, of being scattered or dispersed, it's also true that we've long been a congregation who's a bit dispersed. When people move away to a different town, we send them with a bag full of memories and with the commission to take what they found in our midst and to pass it on, to carry our congregation with them as they go. Today, we have the wonderful opportunity to hear from some of our siblings in faith who have moved away, to hear from some of our siblings in faith who are part of the Bethel diaspora. The second particularly special part of the podcast is that today is Mother's Day. As a way of celebrating the wide spectrum of mothers and of mothering in our lives, we'll share a litany together during the prayer time. But before we get to all of that and to some wonderful music, here's Jacob Martin with the announcements and the call to worship.
Hi, everyone. One quick announcement this morning. Congratulations to four seniors who are graduating high school, Ben King, Natalie Rowley, Riley Stice, and Griffin Ray. Bethel would normally recognize this accomplishment with cake, cards, gifts, and hearing stories from them, highlights about high school and their plans to move forward. We hope to do this on a future podcast, but in addition, we would like to shower them with cards from our faith community. If you can, please help by sending a card for one or all four of these seniors to the church by May 24th. Thanks, and let's help celebrate this momentous occasion. The theme for the podcast today is foolishness. We're going to hear from members of our community who are located elsewhere but still with us in spirit about a time when the gospel of Jesus felt like foolishness and when it felt like wisdom, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. I find it fitting that on this Mother's Day we would talk about foolishness because recently I have often, when I feel foolish, gone to my mother. It's easy during this time of quarantine and isolation to take our foolishness and our weakness and our anxiety and to bottle up these emotions. But whenever I do this, it doesn't help. And so eventually I turn to my mother. And when I come to my mother and I tell her about these things, she always reminds me of the simple truth that when we are feeling weak, we have to ask for help. It's sometimes hard for me to do this because I want to feel in control. I want to feel strong. But my mother, who understands God's foolishness, knows how to ask for help. She knows how to be vulnerable and display weakness and say, "We are not in this alone. I need help. We need to do this together." So on this Mother's Day, I'd like to say thank you to all of the mothers, to all of the women in the world who are helpful, who are always there when you need assistance, who are there when you need to be vulnerable and remind us that we are not in this alone, that we need to help each other, that we have to be with each other in our foolishness. Let's pray. God, we give thanks today for all the mothers of our world, those who put our needs before theirs, those who remind us of what it means to be a servant and also a leader, those who guide us through our foolishness and remind us that we are all in this together. Amen.
We knew your church, its ministries restored, both to serve and adore. Make it again as salt throughout the land, and as light from the stand. Mid sombre shadows of the night, with greed and hate, send us forth with power endued. Help us, God, be renewed. Teach us to pray, for you are always near. Your still voice let us hear. Our souls are restless till they rest in you, where we find strength anew. Before your presence keep us still, that we may find for us your will, and seek your guidance every day. Teach us, Christ, how to pray. Teach us to love with heart and mind and soul. Yet, O Christ, be our goal. Break down the walls of prejudice and hate. Let us come to our fate. As you have loved and given your life to end hostility and strife, oh, share your grace from heaven above. Teach us, Christ, how to love.
1 Corinthians 1, 18-25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength.
This is Brian Miller. Coming up next in our service, you will be hearing from four different people or couples who have been an integral part of our community life in the past. They will be sharing a little bit about their lives and also reflect on our scripture about how the foolishness of God transcends the wisdom of humans. In the midst of their reflections, you'll also hear a Telemann Minuet by Bethel's Baroque Quartet.
Hello, everyone. This is Phyllis and Ed Shirk addressing you from Portland, Oregon, where we now live after leaving Colorado 2.5 years ago. We live in a little house that we built in the backyard of our daughter Emily, son-in-law JJ, and their family here in North Portland. It's not exactly a tiny house, but it is a one-bedroom house, and it is just about the right size for two people, particularly now since we're in this lockdown because of the virus. We are in the same compound as our grandchildren, so we don't have to be isolated from them like many people have to be. For this, we are truly thankful. We do miss Colorado. We miss the beautiful mountains. We miss the beautiful blue sky. We miss all you wonderful people. And of course, we miss our favorite place in the world, Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp. Many people ask us why we left. And of course, the first thing we say is we didn't leave because we didn't like Colorado. We left because we were coming to join family here in Portland and so that I could have a garden. Many of you know that in the mountains there is stiff competition between the natural elements and growing vegetables and flowers. But everything grows well here in Portland, and I've had a terrific opportunity for a garden, so I am really enjoying exercising my green thumb. Portland Mennonite Church is now our church home, and they have welcomed us warmly. We miss you all at Bethel and look forward to our next opportunity to visit with you in person and catch up.
The text that we have been given to reflect on is from 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 31, titled, Christ Crucified is God's Power and Wisdom. In this letter to the Corinthians, Paul tries his best to help the Corinthian people understand how different this gospel is from what they were expecting as Jews from a Messiah. In the 19th verse, Paul quotes a text from Isaiah 29 where God talks about how he will frustrate the plans of those who will try to fight against Mount Zion, and how he will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. The understanding of the Jewish people was that when the Messiah came, there would be a transformation back to the glory days of King David, where the Jewish people would once again be a proud nation and rule the world with the power of God. So this idea that their Savior would be a person who would be crucified, killed, is foolishness. No earthly wisdom would come to that conclusion. Paul was trying to help them understand that God's plan for the world was different from what they had been taught by the wise Jewish leaders or even the wisdom of Greek philosophers. Paul points out that the Jews were always looking for some type of sign or wonder that proved that they were on the right track spiritually, while the Greeks were people who were always in pursuit of wisdom to guide their daily actions. In verse 26, Paul reminds his listeners that being wise or noble or influential was not the reason that they were able to be called to salvation. Being smart is not the point. The point is that Lord God has provided Christ for salvation, and it doesn't come from being smart. It does not appear to suggest that signs and wonders or wisdom are pointless in life, only that salvation is not found through these methods, as a person might imagine. It seems that the most important part of these verses comes in verse 30, where it is written, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." It's a good idea to pay attention to these three words, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. If you think about it, this is the pursuit of any religious person, deciding for yourself what is righteous, what is holy, and how I am to be redeemed is at the core of every religious experience. The Jews pursued signs and wonders. The Greeks pursued wisdom to show them what is righteous, what is holy, and what is redeeming in life. But the point of this letter was to make sure that the Corinthians knew it had nothing to do with any kind of wisdom and everything to do with God himself providing Christ as the way to salvation through righteous holiness and redemption. There is a sense of power in knowing you are right about something, but Paul says if you are boasting about being right, about knowing what is spiritual truth, boast in the Lord. God has accomplished all of this for us, and all we need to do is believe God. May God bless you all.
Hi, this is Ben Eberle, and I live in Heston, Kansas. All of you by now know that Martha passed away on March the 19th, and we are planning to have a memorial service at Bethel on July the 18th. She will be buried in La Junta, a private burial. And we look forward to seeing all of you at that time. I'm living alone in a duplex here on the campus of Showalter Villa, and I'm doing well for the shape I'm in because I've had some personal setbacks as far as my own health is concerned, and so my ability to get around and my ability to do things is greatly diminished from where it had been when I was living in Colorado Springs. But I thank God for the blessing that I have of the memories that Martha and I made together. We traveled the world and went on some work missions. So I have so much good things to remember. If you are ever at Heston, please stop in and see me. In 1 Corinthians talks about the whole idea of the way God does things is foolishness to the world. And I think of a number of things that are really foolish from the standpoint of the world. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the gift of God. And so what is it that looks foolish? Well, the first one that I think of is that a baby could be born to a virgin. A second one is that God chose to send his son, who is really King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to come and live among us and to come as a baby, and a baby to a poor peasant couple, rather than coming into a king's court. And he lived a very simple life while he was here, and yet his followers called him master. A very unthinkable kind of way of becoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And but there's other ways. The whole idea of promoting his message through fishermen, people who were not looked upon with favor, such as a tax collector. So God uses unsophisticated people to become the leaders of his new church that he began before he left in resurrection. It's an amazing thing that he has chosen to teach nations about himself through unconventional ways. God uses us as his followers to demonstrate the fruit of his spirit, which becomes a fourth dimension of God. And just give that some thought. And we'll look forward to seeing all of you in July.
Bethel. This is Indigo Miller, lifetime attendee of Bethel with my parents, brother, and grandparents, all affectionately known as the Millers. Bethel has been my heart home all my life, and that has remained true even since I moved to Boston in 2017. I finished getting my Master's of Public Health last year, and at the end of last summer, I finished working as a hospital nurse to start a new job at the public health nonprofit called Upstream USA. Boston and New England life has been treating me well despite all this COVID craziness. While the numbers of those sick are still high, the city and state continue to be closed down, and uncertainty is a constant state of being, I find that gratitude is still the name of the game and what gets me through. Growing up at Bethel, surrounded by family, community, and the engaging beauty of Colorado, instilled a deep sense of gratitude for all the big and little things in my life. And while I miss all these things now living so far away, and while facing the daily weight of a pandemic, this practice of gratitude has remained central. So I wanted to share the story of what I'm up to these days through the lens of a gratitude practice. I'm grateful for the physical, for a safe place to live with lots of natural sunlight and plenty of plants inside and out, for a healthy, strong body that carries me through each day, for a job that prioritizes my well-being and facilitates me working from home, for my grandmother Edie's old sewing machine that's been put to good use making masks and for general hobbying. I'm grateful for the mental, for work that is meaningful and challenging even from my home desk, for green spaces just around the corner where I can go for walks and runs to keep healthy and keep from going stir crazy, for podcasts and so many books to read. I'm grateful for the emotional, for a roommate and a partner who are endlessly fun and supportive quarantine buddies, for a partner who makes me giggle all day long, for friends who remind me that it's okay to feel the crushing weight of the world, to cry and not have to articulate all the reasons why. And I'm grateful for the social, for Zoom and phone apps like Marco Polo and Instagram and all the technology that I'm usually happy to criticize, but has been a lifeline in these social distancing times. For games, games, and more games, because you can only watch so much Netflix. And last but not least, for a faith community that wants to hear from me and cares how I'm doing even when I'm thousands of miles away. Thank you, Bethel, for welcoming me into your virtual service today and for being such a strong community that I can feel the Spirit move through you all the way over here in Boston.
Good morning, Bethel. This is Paula Brunk-Coons.
And Bruce Coons.
Greeting you from our home in Portland, Oregon.
We enjoyed being part of the Bethel community for over 20 years, from 1984 to 89, and also from 2002 to 2018.
And what an impact you all made on our lives. We really cherish so many friendships, and we think of you guys often.
We were invited to share a few thoughts about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom found in the good news of Jesus, which is often considered by the world to be foolish. When we considered this, we thought of two important questions. First, who do we model our lives on? It seems like the world around us tends to look up to the powerful, the wealthy, and the famous. Jesus tells us to model our lives on Him. Simple, but impossible to get it all right. So we depend on God's grace, on the Spirit's nudges, and on each other as our encouragers. The second big question is, what do we think is valuable in this life? And it seems like the world around us likes money, power, prestige, all focused on one's self. Jesus, on the other hand, modeled giving, loving, being a servant, and working for justice.
Again, simple, though so challenging to do. We find that we are often pulled by influences of the world, but wherever we have lived, we have found people who have challenged us to model our lives after Jesus and his quote-unquote foolish kingdom values. Currently in Portland, we are being challenged by people in our small group as we hear their life stories. There's Drew Kastner, a nurse, who moved to Portland with his wife specifically so he could work with mentally ill people who are currently houseless and living outdoors. He shared how some of his relatives definitely raised an eyebrow at this foolish decision.
And then there's Colleen Milstein, who grew up in South Africa during apartheid, but knew deep down that using her white privilege to work against that system, though challenging and perhaps foolish, was what God was calling her to do. She chose a career working with Youth with a Mission in the slums of Cape Town, a choice that many in her family considered quite foolish. We know that on most days, these friends don't see their choices as being radical or foolish. These life decisions were simply the result of the Spirit's stirrings from within, along with the influences of others around them who also desire to follow Christ.
What we find so encouraging in all of this foolish behavior is that each person comes to a different point of conviction that prompts their action. Right now, it seems that there's so much need, and what Bruce and I are actively involved in seems quite small. But we try to remind ourselves that God values all acts of foolishness for the kingdom's sake. As Sister Teresa said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love.
So may we all be encouraged to do even small acts of foolishness with great love. Thank you, Bethel friends, for walking with us along that delightfully foolish path for many years.
We are going to begin our time of prayer today with a call and response litany that celebrates the wide spectrum of mothering. This morning, I invite us to acknowledge and to pray for the various kinds of relationships that people have with their mothers and with their own experiences of mothering, whether they're biological mothers, foster mothers, mentor mothers, or spiritual mothers. The call and response litany was included as a PDF in the Friday email and in the podcast email. If you would like to follow along with your eyes and your voice, as well as your heart and your mind, then I encourage you to pause the podcast and to pull up the litany. I'm going to read the plain text, and Shelby Clark and Lauren Weaver have graciously agreed to read the bold text. We begin our time of prayer this morning with a confession of faith. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for the wide spectrum of mothers and of mothering, to those who are pregnant with new life.
We anticipate with you and pray that God will knit together the child in your womb.
To those who gave birth to a child this year,
we celebrate with you.
To those who lost a child this year, to those who experienced loss this year through miscarriage, failed adoptions, accident, sickness, or another difficult reality of life,
We mourn with you.
To those who walk the hard path of infertility,
we acknowledge your pain and we commit to walk with you.
To those who are moms, foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms,
Thank you. We need you. We appreciate you.
To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother,
We lament with you and hope for your healing.
To those who are caring for their mothers in the midst of medical needs,
may God sustain you.
To those whose mother died this year or in years past,
We grieve with you.
On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for the wide spectrum of mothers present and represented among us.
We thank the Lord for their love, encouragement, and strength.
Resurrected Lord, we thank you that the work of your mission and your love is the work of joining. It is the humble work of joining others. It is the vulnerable work of opening up our lives that we may be joined by others. Holy Spirit, God of the gathered and of the scattered, we give thanks that it is your presence in our lives and in this place of beauty called creation that weaves us together and makes us one. We ask, dear Jesus, that you would hear our cries today, that you would make space for our grief, our joy, and our hope, that you would empower us through your grace to make space for the grief, joy, and hope of others. Continue to reveal what it means to be your people here and now. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the one who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we wrap up our Sunday worship podcast this week, I want to thank everyone who helped put it together. Thanks to Jacob Martin for being our worship leader, Jody, Seth, Brian, Dave, and Barbara for music, Jeanette Martin for reading scripture, Ed and Phyllis Shirk, Ben Eberly, Indigo Miller, and Paula and Bruce Coons for sharing wisdom from the Bethel diaspora, Brian Greenthumb Miller for working on the production elements, and to you all for tuning in. I invite you now to receive these words of blessing from Psalm 121. As you go from this time of worship, may the Lord keep you from all evil. May God keep your life. May the Lord keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Amen.